prisoner's chains with bleeding stripes. Paul and Silas prayed that night, and in their pain began to see their chains were loosed and they were free. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor, give you praise. Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in a prison in your mind, reach out and praise. Defy those chains, and they will fall in Jesus' name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor, give you praise. I bless your name. You are the life, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name.
I want to thank the Lord for this song. The Lord sent it my way when Roger had had his second stroke. And I knew that I just had to praise my way through it. And so this is a special song. But I had to say this afterwards, otherwise I would have cried and not been able to sing. Praise the Lord.
And how we love to hear those voices blending together, and praising and blessing the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us turn this morning to Proverbs, the 21st chapter. Proverbs 21 and verse 31. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. This is Mother's Day, and we want to honor our mothers, both past and present. But today I'm not going to enlarge specifically on mothers. I rather feel an urgency to speak on a subject that is very, very close to the true mother's heart. I want to speak on safety. As we read here in this verse, safety. And then it is designated, specified, safety is of the Lord. Moses was a man who felt the burden of an entire nation. Responsibility cast upon him to oversee them, as it were, to keep them in safety. And he likened this or connected this with, indeed, how a mother feels. Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them? That thou shouldst say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers. This is somewhat of a complaint that Moses had of all of this burden, but again, he likens this unto the heart of a woman who would be caring for her young child. God uses somewhat the same analogy. As we find in Isaiah 49, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, but God quickly adds, I will not forget thee. And this is what we find here, that safety is of the Lord. He has that compassion. He has that interest. He said it in a way that all people can identify insofar as mothers are concerned. A few years ago, I don't think that I really understood this first part of his message here. As he says, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion? They may forget. We've reached that time in our day where there is a disregard of such things, and yet God's promise, I'm not going to forget. And indeed, safety is of the Lord. We have heard that term quite a number of times in the last few days, in the last few weeks. Safety. Do things safely. I want to emphasize throughout this message that safety is of the Lord. I truly believe God is putting the faith of his people to the test. Whether we are going to believe God or whether we are not, and I am confident it is coming down to a very individual relationship and connection with the Lord. We know it is important to believe God as a unit, but I think God is separating people unto himself. And we must be a part of that separation. The word safety is rather wide range in meaning. It means to rescue. It means to defend. To preserve. It means deliverance. Help. It means salvation. Again, a very wide-ranging term. And it means victory. When he says safety is of the Lord, it's all of these things rolled into one, and God is responsible for them. This same glorious truth of safety is expressed in a number of places in the Scripture. We remember this one from our Sunday school days, very early in our Christian experience. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Again, the responsibility is on I. The safety is of the Lord. Colossians 3:3 is beautiful. You are dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. This is a double safety. This is a double security. John follows up with exactly the same words and truth of Jesus. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He goes on. My Father, He gave them to me. He's greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Again, double security in the hand of Jesus, in the hand of the Father. Safety is of the Lord. And this security, this safety of which we speak, applies to the threefold being of man, spirit, soul, and body. And He wants to make that real in our lives today. I want to go back to our verse here, verse 31, here in Proverbs, and notice the order, because this order prevails down to our day and into our own experience. The first thing we read is the horse is prepared against the day of battle. The horse is symbolic of natural strength and natural ability and natural ingenuity. And you will notice He is prepared. It tells us that there are the times in our lives we have to be aware of things that are going along. We have to be prepared for things. We have to be ready for things. But you will notice, even though we do what we can, we use common sense that God has given to us. But notice the little word but in the middle of that verse. But safety is of the Lord. We can, we should, we shouldn't exhaust what we have. But in the final analysis, we must understand real safety is only of the Lord. It's not what we did. It's not our accomplishments. It is not our efforts. Safety, He may use what we did or didn't do. Safety is of the Lord. This same message is conveyed in a number of different places in the Scripture. I love Psalm 127. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Oh, you post the watchman. You do what you're supposed to do. You be on duty. But safety is of the Lord. Psalm 20 and verse 7 says this. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. We do have our natural abilities and strengths and defenses and all of that. But again, we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Why? Because safety is of the Lord. Our confidence must be in Him. Psalm 4:8 says it this way. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. This is what I've noticed with all the people in our world that are taking such precaution and such safety. I don't see any rest in any of them. I see a constant turmoil and boiling up. When our confidence is in the Lord, we can lay me down in peace and sleep. Why? For Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. There will be those, and I'm glad I have seen and know that there are those even now who have that glorious message and that glorious assurance in their own hearts. The Lord makes me lay down and sleep. The Lord only makes me dwell in safety. I love the blessing that Moses pronounced upon Benjamin. We'll not turn there once again, but just before Moses was taken out of this world, he pronounced blessing on all of the children, the tribes of Israel. This one is in Deuteronomy 33, and it says this. Of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. and the Lord shall cover him all day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. Who was Benjamin? Benjamin was the youngest son of Jacob. Benjamin is one that was united with Judah. 10 tribes of Israel separated. They were known as Israel. Out of all the kings that Israel, the 10 tribes, had, there wasn't one that was any good. None. They were all evil, wicked kings. Benjamin was tied to Judah, often called Little Benjamin. His name means son of my right hand. And he's typical today of those who would be at the right hand of Jesus, reigning with him. The blessing of Benjamin is for me, if I will indeed claim it. And so we find, shall dwell in safety by him. He'll cover him all day long. This is the safety we are looking for in our lives. Those who would indeed insist on being in that overcoming band, the son of my right hand. We've just finished the study of Lamentations. One part of that study was in the fact that not everyone was taken to Babylon in captivity. There was a remnant left in Jerusalem. Jeremiah was left with them. That remnant came to him and said, Jeremiah, we want you to go before the Lord, and we want you to pray and seek earnestly what God would have us to do. And whatever you say, that's what we'll do. Jeremiah did that. Came back 10 days later. In Jeremiah 42, you'll find these words. God said to them, if you will still abide in this land, I will build you, I'll not pluck you down. I'll plant you, I'll not pluck you up. I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. He promised them safety in the land. This is what we say to believers today. Step out and believe God. Take your place in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus and enjoy the blessing that God promised. Now the sadness here is that remnant turned that down. Oh no, no, Jeremiah, God didn't say that. You made that up out of your own heart. We know God wants us to go to Egypt. That's where we're going. Did you know this is the same decision that many Christians have made today? I will go the way of the world. I will go with what I can see. I will yield to my fears, and it'll be all right. Well, it's not going to be all right. I can guarantee you that. We must lay hold of God's promise. And God's promise is, it is me who will keep you in safety. I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you return into your own land. God wants us to live in the heavenly land apart from Egypt. So though that remnant refused, you and I can absolutely appropriate that glorious blessing. We can claim that promise that God gave to them. This protection of which we speak has been claimed many times down through the ages. Psalm 91, many are familiar with it. We'll not turn there, but it says in part this, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Why? Because safety is of the Lord. And we must learn that glorious truth in our own individual lives, just exactly as the psalmist did. I want to consider a situation which happened in Scripture, which I believe is very comparable to what many are going through in their lives today. Let's turn back to 2 Kings, the 7th chapter. This deals with what we know as the confinement and the coronavirus and all of that, but these verses and the principles that I want to notice here apply to any difficulty that we may go through. The horse is prepared against the day of battle. There's more battles in our world today than just coronavirus. This applies to any battle. And it tells us that, yes, there may be a time of preparation, maybe using some wisdom along certain lines, but the same order is true. It is the Lord who is responsible for our safety. And so we find here in these verses, 2 Kings 7, and notice we'll begin with verse 1. Then Elisha said, "Hear you the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, in the gate of Samaria." The context of this lies in the fact that Israel, this is the 10 tribes, their capital was in Samaria. They have been besieged by Syria. This city is shut up and the gates are closed. They're locked in here and there is famine throughout the entire city. There is panic throughout the entire city. And then we find these wonderful words that Elijah said, tomorrow about this time. This is a real good example for those who want to understand the gifts of the Spirit. This is a real good example of a word of knowledge, real prophecy. It is specific and it came to pass. There are so many prophecies and words of knowledge going on out there today, but they're as general and generic as they can get. God is specific. And when he says something, you can bank on it and it will come to pass. That's what we have here. Verse 2, we have what we have in our world today. Unbelief. A Lord on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God, "Behold, if the Lord make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" Here's Elisha's message to him. You're going to see it, but you're not going to eat of it. There are those in our world today who want no part of God's word either. Unbelief prevails throughout this nation and throughout the world. But God's word is going to come to pass. I can guarantee you that. I want to pick up our story with verse 4. We must indeed follow the example of 4 lepers. Four corners of the world. This applies to everybody. God's message is for the entire world. There were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die?" Leprosy in Scripture is typical of sin. This does not mean that we're talking about sinful people. It does mean that we are talking about believers who must recognize our need and our dependence on the Lord. We don't get so strong that we can, so spiritual that we can do everything in our own strength and power. Why, I have enough faith to do anything I need to do. We must understand from Paul's gospel, when a person is saved, he is now possessed of two natures rather than one. He was born with the old nature, but the day that we're born again, the life of Christ, the nature of Jesus is implanted in my body, in my life. And now there are two natures battling for the supremacy over what happens in this mortal body. God intends that this new nature will take control and absolute dominance over all the activities of this mortal body. And if you go through Romans 6, 7, and 8, we're given specific instruction as to how that will happen. We can live a godly and a sinless life by the power of the Holy Ghost. But let us understand, until we be taken out of this world, we must contend with sin in the flesh. And sin in my flesh is just as bad as sin in the worst sinner that you can find. That's the old nature. We must understand that truth. If I am going to live above the power of sin, it is only the power of the Holy Ghost, the Word of God, that can enable me to do that. And so these leprous men are typical of every believer who still has the weakness within him. And thus, he must depend entirely on the Lord. This is the attitude that we must have. Verse 3, why sit we here till we die? As I read this, these must have been on the outside looking in. Lepers were shunned and expelled. But they were at the door, they were at the gate, they were at the entering in of the gate. Why are we standing here? Verse 4. If we say we'll enter into the city, if we try to get in there, the famine is in the city, we'll die there. If we sit still here, we'll die. Therefore, come. Let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we'll live. If they kill us, we'll but die. They were caught in an impossible situation, much like many people are today. I thought of Paul in this matter and find out that Paul said that, speaking of this very same thing, that if we live, we live unto the Lord. If we die, we die unto the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or whether we die, it is unto the Lord. And I'm persuaded that every individual must eventually come to that place where that we must leave this simply in the very hand of the Lord. Thought it was rather interesting that Elisha gave that promise, but these lepers, I doubt, heard it. They were on the outside of the fence, the outside of the gate. It reminds us of ourselves. We do not always have a direct voice from the Lord. Now, sometimes people do. One of my favorite portions of scripture is before Paul was shipwrecked, God came to him and he gave him the promise that everyone was going to be saved. All of the ship and its lading, everything is going to be lost. But not a life would be lost. Paul, I'm giving you all of these people. And before that storm did its final damage, Paul said this, "Sirs, I believe God that it shall be as it was told me." He had a direct knowledge. He had a direct voice from the Lord of what was going to happen. These lepers, as I say, there's no record that they heard this. I think we're in the same plight today. I haven't heard anyone come out and say, definitely, this is going to be lifted. This is going to be over at such and such a time. This is going to be done. Everything's going to be back, as it were, to normal. We don't really hear that from a man of God or anybody else. And what we do hear is, well, I don't know if we'll ever get back to normal, whatever that was. This is our plight. But let us understand that we still have this same promise. Safety is of the Lord. And that's exactly what these men did. If we will but die, we know we'll be with Him. We understand that to depart and be with the Lord, which is far better. We know that. And so these men just boldly went right on into the camp of the enemy. Now I want to issue a warning here. Some might interpret these incidents like that. Samaria was on a lockdown. That's the term we see today. Well, let's just believe God and let's just go in and just defy all of the rules and the regulations. Let's just go out and do what we want to do and, oh, God will surely take care of the rest. This portion really does not tell us to throw caution to the winds. This portion, nor any other portion of Scripture, does not tell us to ignore the lockdown and ignore authority. We heard comments early on when they decided to close the churches. Well, now we can't do that. God told us to gather together, and ought we to obey God or man? And then some quoted Daniel when he was told you can't pray. He went ahead and did it anyway. He did, and he was right. But let us understand the principle of Scripture. Some, even in our day, thought it was right to ignore the decree, and they went ahead and had services defied. And from what I have understood, there was not a whole lot of good came out of that. But let's just consider Daniel and what he did. It was a bad decree. It was a political decree. It was designed to destroy Daniel. This is what I want everyone to understand. I have tried to teach this to young people down through the years. It doesn't make any difference who your authority is. If you defy authority, you will face consequence. I know of some young people down through the years that thought their parents just didn't know what they were talking about. They didn't know God the way I do. And I have to do what God says to do. And I have to go against the authority of my parents. As I said, the authority was wrong here at this place. But let us understand one thing. Even though Daniel refused to bow to the authority, and he went right ahead praying 3 times a day as he always did, he still endured the consequences of being cast into the lion's den. I say to anyone who is so sure that they are in the will of God by defying authority, you must consider if you're prepared to endure the consequence, because it will come. No matter if you're right or not, consequence will come. The 3 Hebrew children were absolutely right. They could not fall down and worship that ungodly image. Consequence, they were still cast into the burning fiery furnace. The early apostles, don't you dare preach in that name anymore. They could not comply with that. And they defied it. And they endured the consequence of beatings and imprisonment. I say on the authority of God's word, no one can defy authority and not face the consequence for it. It can't be done. And that is not according to what man may or may not do. I've told young people for years, you had better submit to the authority of your parents. That's where God begins teaching authority, submission to authority, loving authority. And I'll guarantee you, if children, young people, don't learn it there, then you're going to face a much harder test down the road from a much harsher authority, and the consequences will indeed be far greater. So what about those that defied authority? Well, God shut the mouths of the lion. As someone said, Daniel just snuggled up to that old cat all night and nothing happened. That's the way we like to think of it. But I particularly don't relish the idea of being cast into a den of hungry lions. But the thing is, if you step out in faith, and it is real faith, and indeed it is believing God, Daniel found out security is of the Lord, because it was the Lord who shut the lion's mouth, and he'll do it today. He has. How about the 3 Hebrew children? They were cast into the burning fiery furnace, but guess who was in there with them? The 4th man, like unto the Son of God. This has happened over and over again down through history. I thought of those men who defied the decree, went out and preached the gospel. Yes, they were beaten. Yes, they were imprisoned. But they went forth in victory, rejoicing because they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. As I thought on this, I thought, I don't read where any of them went to the news media trying to change public opinion so people would treat them better. Our security and our safety is of the Lord. And so God defended all of these. I cannot tell you how long it will be before we may have to defy authority in order to accomplish God's purpose. there may come a day, like the three Hebrew children, when, no, you ask me to fall down and worship another God, I'm not going to do it. There may come that day. I've already made up my mind. If someone comes to me trying to force me to marry a gay couple, I will not do it. That's an abomination before the Lord. I will not do it. The first thing consequence of that would probably be losing your tax exemption for the church. Well, I've already put the church on notice that your offerings won't be tax deductible and we'll wind up paying taxes. I still won't do it. God will meet the need. Believe me, I hope we're in glory before anything like that happens. And I believe that we very well could be. Because we are right on the threshold of being caught home to glory. I believe that with all my heart. I said in the beginning, I believe that God is wanting to bring out into the open our individual faith. We must have the same attitude as those lepers. Whether we live, whether we die, we belong to the Lord. That's exactly what Paul said in Romans 14:8. Whether we live to the Lord. Whether we die to the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. There must come the day, beloved, when we really believe that way down deep in our hearts, whether anyone else is around or not. And so today it is imperative for us to claim our own individual, the promise for our own individual experience, regardless of what that experience might be. We must understand safety is of the Lord. And whatever precaution we might take or whatever we might do, between us and the Lord, our final trust must be in Him. And I personally think that there are many experiences that people are going through today. This is what God is orchestrating. My faith becoming manifest before Him. And that's not something we have to broadcast. It's something that God knows. And that's all I need. Is that God knows, I believe God. Safety is of the Lord.